Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Tales from the Bargain Bin. I'm Bill Tucker, and with me on this week's episode is a man who really doesn't need much introduction at all. He's the host of Games My Mom Found and a good friend of the show, Mr. Mike Alberton. What's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. Talking about bad video games, apparently.
Yes, today's been a day of bad video games. I just finished recording with Mike for his show on a bad game, and now we're going to talk about another one, which is Dick Tracy for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah, and you almost can't say the name Dick Tracy video game without a chuckle. Released in August of 1990 by Bandai.
Oh.
And this is a game that's been very lampooned in the world of video game critique, especially by one angry video game nerd. That's the only time I remember this from, back when I was watching that stuff religiously. And yeah, let's kind of just jump into Dick Tracy, the video game. Mike, this is your pick.
Yes.
So why?
Well, I know
you played it 15 minutes last night.
Of Tales Bargain Bin is weird stuff or bad things that people had bought us. This wasn't a game that anybody had bought me, but bought somebody. A friend of mine who was, I would have been, I didn't see this in 1990. I was born in 87, so I probably saw the early 90s. Super Nintendo was already out at the time. He had an NES, and he had a collection of a few NES games. And I would always be like, oh, hey, play those Mega Man games. He had Mega Man 2, but every so often, he would pick this up and play Dick Tracy. And I didn't know who the f*** Dick Tracy is. I mean, I'm 35, and I still don't really know who the hell Dick Tracy is, and I don't care. Yes, I know there's a movie. I know who the character is. But it's one of those things where I'm like, I could give a type of thing.
Right.
I asked
myself the same question, because usually when we do these things, I try to fill a half an hour. And there's not much to fill with this game, because this is a horrendously bad game. This is one of those where, you know, sometimes, again, video game nerd, game grumps, like all that kind of angry video game YouTuber stuff. I always think about it like, is the game as bad as they're saying? Of course, sometimes it's not. This is just done for comedy.
Disagree.
This is exactly as bad.
I didn't play this game for this episode because I didn't want to bother with it. But I do want to play this game. Like, this is a game that I saw my friend play. It made absolutely no sense to me back in the NES, and I didn't care about it. But it's a game that I think about more often than makes sense to me. Like, I really want to play this game all the way through one day. Because to me, it looks cool. I know it doesn't play very well. It's a side-scroller game that also has isometric view moments where you drive a car, but the car is really bad, and the whole idea is like you're trying to find these suspects. And it interests me for some reason. I like weird games in general. Like, I like games that have, especially the NES and the stuff that was didn't have the power to do a lot. I like stuff where they went outside the bounds and tried something different. It interests me a lot, even though I know this game is not good.
It's this game. It's another one of those situations where it has some good ideas. Like, there are some neat ideas. The conceit of this game, you're right, is very interesting. We'll talk about Dick Tracy. What in the world is a Dick Tracy? Because that was my number one question. Like, wait, I've seen Dick Tracy, the movie. But I'm like, what was it? Because he's been around since the 30s as a comic book character.
Yeah, he's an old-ass comic book character.
Yeah, oldie-time comic book character. But we'll talk about Dick Tracy in a bit. But the game itself, you play as the titular Dick Tracy. There are a series of capers you have to examine or kind of solve, kind of like a Carmen Sandiego, where it's almost in chapters. And what you do is you use your vehicle and you drive from place to place based on the information you get from the different crooks and criminals at the previous place, and you kind of follow the trail of breadcrumbs until you basically get all the clues, fill out your notebook, and then you can make the arrest. And that's really all it is, but it's an interesting idea. Like you said, Mike, there's basically two pieces of this. There's the side scrolling where you're just basically walking left to right, punching bad guys in the face, sometimes very comically. And the second part where you're just piloting your car around town and getting shot by snipers is evidently in this,
health bar is the same health bar for your car and for your person. And the way it looks, like, you barely even notice you're getting shot by these random snipers in your car because it's NES graphics.
The best way to avoid the snipers is to drive very, very slow. And as soon as you see them on the roof, you can get out and then you can take them out pretty easily from the street. Evidently, this is guerrilla warfare in the middle of this urban town that you literally just people perched on the rooftops, just firing at vehicles for no reason.
I mean, if this is based in the 30s, that almost feels accurate.
Yeah, right. Is this Chicago in the Prohibition era?
I mean, I've watched enough documentaries and enough stuff like, man, it's probably not that far off to how bad that city was in the 30s. I've been watching a ton of Pawn Stars, and he made a comment, which I don't think was false, that he said like almost the entire police force, or the entire police force was under Al Capone's, was on his payroll.
Oh, yeah. It was a bad scene. Prohibition was not good. It did not have the desired effect that those who wanted to put it in action did. But this game is... See, the big problem with this game is control is an issue. People complained about the way the vehicle drives. I don't really mind it too much. I think it's kind of neat. The idea is that you don't really steer it. You direct the car, if that makes sense.
Because you're always locked the right lane.
You're always correct. You're always locked on the right side of the road because you are a good cop. You're not a bad. You're not an evil villain like in GTA. You always lock right on the right hand of the road. And when you reach a intersection, you really should slow down and take your turn, which would be fine for realism. Not fine when you have deadeye snipe sharpshooters firing sniper rifles at you that hit you every single time. But without fail, you are taking damage from these snipers. And it, like you said, Mike, you really, that is the biggest flaw in this game is that there's a shared life bar. There's very few ways of recovering it. And once you lose and you start all over.
Yeah, there's only like, I guess like one life, but no continues type of thing from what I was reading.
There's no lives. There's no continues. You die. You start the caper over. And
there's passwords, but they only bring you to the beginning of each case of the five cases.
Right. Exactly.
And you have to go and collect these clues. I know the game looks bad, but for some reason, I have thought about this game for over, probably at this point, over 25 years, if not even 30 years. I have thought about this game, went, I should play that one day for the podcast. I mean, not the podcast, but even then, like, I always thought I should try out, I should actually play this game and beat it. I don't know why.
It's a very strange concept. And the side-scrolling is very standard stuff.
Yeah.
This is really a memorization game.
I don't know if... I only know this because of the YouTube video I was watching beforehand. If you shoot a guy that's unarmed, you lose health.
Yes.
I like that.
It's a neat idea. Again, it's one of those good ideas. You can't shoot unarmed people. You can, of course, shoot armed people. There's in the first stage or the first warehouse you find yourself in, you actually get into a little gun battle with somebody, which was really neat. They're ducking behind a piece of furniture, and you're doing the same. So they're like rapid fire shooting at you, and then when you stand up to shoot, they duck down. I was like, this is actually kind of cool. This is a little neat thing. I burned like 15 bullets on the guy. But it was still kind of neat. You have get items in the world, one of which is a super punch, which is wonderful. Yes. Super punch just sends the guy flying like a Looney Tunes cartoon across the screen and pinballs around, knocking out other people. It is wonderful and great.
I mean, it's just one of those games that when I saw it as a kid... I was like, this is cool. I mean, I wanted to see I couldn't play it because I was a child, but my friend wouldn't play it for me because I tried to get him to play because I wanted to see more of it, but he never got, I don't know if he ever even finished a case. Like, I don't remember, but it's just one of those things that's always been in my brain. And I love, to this day, I love when games, especially older games, have just those different ways to play. Like, I love isometric parts and you have a two, like, I just love that idea.
Yeah, it's again, it's got some really good ideas, and it really does its best to present a real Dick Tracy story. It has six of the main villains in Dick Tracy, Flat Top, and This Face, and Deadhead. I don't know.
Did you even know this game existed until I mentioned it?
I did.
Angry
Video Game Nerd. Yeah, I remember from that season. Again, whenever you play a game that comes from that that vintage, I always kind of think, like, is it really that bad? Like, but this is as bad as the nerd proclaimed in his video. So, yeah.
I've never watched his stuff. I just know his shtick is very, well, angry. So I just never cared enough.
I was super into it. When he first came out, it was 2005? Like,
that's early.
He was super, relatively early YouTube. I was, like, super into it for... a while, and then I kind of just aged out of it, but probably not as soon as I should have, you know. It was one of those like guilty pleasure type of things after a while. I was like, oh, I gotta watch some AVGN, that's fine. I actually tried watching one a couple days ago. We can get into, this is again, how much can you talk about Dick Tracy, to be honest?
Especially without him really playing it, not a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I played it for 15 minutes last night and said, yeah, this sucks. I understand. I tasted it. I tasted the meal. It's not good. We can move on. But AVGN, and after a certain point of time, I was like, yeah, I'm just aged out of this. And I tried watching one the other, I think it was like last week. And I got through like maybe 5 minutes. I was like, I don't know. It's just not the thing. He hasn't evolved over the years. He's still creating curse words, and he's still, and again, that stuff doesn't bother me, but there's been no growth in the AVGN content over the years. I was super into it for a while.
Watching the playthrough of this game, though, just the idea that you have to get these clues and then go after the villain. I'm assuming there's boss fights for the villains or something. I'm assuming?
I don't know. The one villain I found, I just walked up to him, hit the punch button, and then he spilled the beans in interrogate mode.
But that was not the boss. That was the suspects or his henchmen that work for him. And again, that's a cool concept to me for a game. Like the idea that you have these different things you have to do. And I know there's car chases you do later on too. You have to chase after a car in that terrible car driving.
Oh, yeah, I found Game Genie codes, so I'm like, I'm just going to blow through this fast. And even with the Game Genie codes enabled, infinite life, I was like, this is just boring. I want to get back to Vampire Survivors. I want to get back to that.
On the Steam Deck. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
Well, again, Steam Deck's perfect for emulation, especially in games like this. Perfect.
No, I did it on Steam Deck and emulation, of course. And it's an interesting specimen of a game where, again, I think if they had a little more time and experience. But again, this is 1990. This is a year before the SNES comes out. Like, this is late stage Nintendo stuff.
Oh, this is the same year as the movie, but this game isn't based on the movie plot. It's based on the comic book plot.
Kinda. It's weird. Guess. Yes, this is the movie. I think was 1990. That does sound right to me.
That's what Google told me.
It's kind of sorta because the Madonna character is in this movie or in this game. She's one of the dossier of villains. I don't know if it has any real connection plot wise. Again, I got through 15 minutes.
From what my understanding was, it was based on the comic book stuff. From at least what the YouTube video SNES Drunk told me.
Yeah, the cover of it's very comic booky, you know.
I don't know anything about the comic book. Like, I know Dick Tracy exists. I've known of him since the 19... because of this game. Then I found out there's a movie that I've seen, like, probably one scene of that movie once in my life and changed the channel. So, I've never watched it. I want to for my podcast, but it just never happened yet.
We can just talk about Dick Tracy, the character, now. That's fine. I have seen the Dick Tracy movie numerous times.
Okay.
Numerous. More than 10.
Is there a reason?
Yes. My dad bought it, and we had a finite amount of tapes. And my dad bought this movie for some weird reason, and I watched it over and over and over again. And I don't know why. Maybe because there's some light cursing, or maybe because it's like Tommy Guns, or maybe I like the jacket. Probably because of, be honest, Madonna's character. I mean, a young lad. I'm not immune to these things. But for whatever reason, I watch this movie all the time. It's okay. It's a passable film. It's fine. It evidently, I'm looking at it, it got 7 Oscar nominations.
Wow.
Was 1990 a rough year for movies? Best original song, makeup. Oh, she must have had Madonna probably had a song in it. Yeah, she has a song. She sings this song in there. Best makeup, art direction. It's neat. It's a neat movie. I haven't seen it in 20 years, but I remember it being perfectly fine. Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy. I don't think anybody else could have played that character better.
And he still owns the rights, by the way.
Does he really?
Yes.
Dick Tracy, the character?
Yes, he still owns the rights to this stuff because back when he got it, you know, everything, like, with All Star, you know, you only have the rights for so long.
Right.
There's a weird, which I only know this because of one of the podcasts I listened to myself, Comic Conspiracy. He's a weird big fan of Dick Tracy for some unknown reason.
That's so funny.
And he told me that he talked about the history. He didn't tell me. He told everybody about it. I was going to say, like, I've never met the guy. I do want to meet the guy. He owns a comic book store in California, and I'm going to go there. someday and meet him and be like, hey, I listened to your show for years now. But here nor there. But to get to the point, like, so Warren Beatty owns Dick Tracy. He made the one movie. He was trying to make another movie, but it never got off the ground. But what he did is he did an AMC special where he dressed up as Dick Tracy, which you can find on YouTube. There's two of them. He did one in the last year or so just to renew the rights. He does it once. He's done it every so many years. He does it just to renew the rights.
Interesting. So he just owns it.
Yeah. Well, that's he owns it only if he does something with it. So every so often he has to make these little specials where he dresses up as Dick Tracy and he interviews himself, where he's dressed up as normal and he has a Dick Tracy dress up and he interviews himself, I guess.
What is happening? What is going on?
It looks stupid as hell from everything I've seen, but it's a real thing that he's done. And yeah.
That is so strange. Wow, Warren Beatty's weird. Yeah. I kind of love that. He has property.
I found it on YouTube, and it's an AMC thing where they just like have like half an hour special where the guy, whoever hosts an AMC at the time, talk with him. That's Dick Tracy.
That's so weird. He's in character. Like, mm-hmm. He's in Dick Tracy character.
And he's
with
old
the hat
now. And, his age. But yeah, he's still like, and again, it's only there just to renew the rights.
This is my next 2 hours of my life is going to be looking up Warren Beatty cosplaying as his own character just to keep the property alive. Yeah. Just in case somebody's like, we could use a Dick Tracy too. Like, we really could. Maybe what's Pacino doing these days? Can he reprise the role as whatever he was? Boy, is Pacino good in this. He is chewing scenery like it's chocolate.
Al Pacino's
candy.
In this movie?
Yeah. Al Pacino plays the lead. Yeah. Warren Beatty. Madonna plays Breathless Mahoney. Al Pacino is Big Boy Caprice. Dustin Hoffman is in this movie, plays Mumbles. There's some real actors in here. William Forsythe.
This is one of those weird movies that I've been so curious about someday getting around to.
It's crazy. Mandy Patinkin. Paul Sorvino. Dick Van Dyke, this is a star-studded cast.
Yeah, that is a star-studded cast.
For goofy Dick Tracy, and directed and produced by our own Warren Beatty. God, he loves this character. I had no idea he also directed it and produced it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't write it, but that's really funny.
He's very, very proud of himself for this movie.
That's so good. I love Dick Tracy, Warren Beatty. I'm gonna see if I can. I'll put some audio in there of the conversation. I just want to watch him pretend to be Dick Tracy. Tonight.
Is this movie even streaming anywhere?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
I'm curious now, but it's just one of those strange things that's always been on my mind, and I don't have it all because my friend played it. It wasn't really my friend. He was a couple years older than me. He was friends with my dad, and. And it was just one of those things that just stuck with me. And to this day, it still sticks with me. And this is a game that I want to play. And for some unknown reason, I want to play and review it. Nothing. But
yeah, this movie is available. You have to pay for it unless you have AMC on demand. So it's on AM. I didn't realize AMC had an on demand channel, but they all
That's
do.
Because
so
because everyone got the great idea that, hey, Netflix is doing great. So why don't we all make a streaming service? That will solve the problem. That will. Yeah. Okay. Missing the whole point of the reason why Netflix was successful because it was the only one.
Because it started out. I remember when Netflix first started streaming very vividly because I had a DVD player that advertised Netflix streaming, and there was nothing on the service. There was absolutely nothing but documentaries. It was Documentary Central. There's nothing. And I think one of the first shows, I think Orange is the New Black might have been one of the first big Netflix shows, I think.
It's
a couple
the
before
second
that.
One.
Okay.
I can't remember what the first one was now. I don't think Orange is the New Black was the first one. There was one before. I know Hemlock Grove was really early, which is now canceled and they took off Netflix, so you can't watch it.
So House of Cards was the first.
Yes.
First Netflix original. Okay.
Which probably would have did better had it not turned out that Kevin Spacey was not a good person.
So. No, it's a shame too. I watched the first few episodes, then the whole Kevin Spacey thing happened. I was like, damn it. Damn it. Yep. All right, forget it. I made the decision.
I always find it interesting with games that stick with me for so long. That's what I find so interesting about Dick Tracy, that this game has stuck with me, my interest. Like, I'm watching a video of somebody play through it right now on YouTube, and it's like, I want to play this all the way through. I really do now, and I don't know why. But I want to just cheat it, play it with save states, and force myself through the entire game.
Evidently, I think we were actually incorrect on this. The first movie, let's see, hang on a second.
There might be stuff like the 1940s or 50s.
No, so the first movie for Netflix was, the first original movie was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, which was the sequel to Crouching Tiger. Okay. But Lilyhammer? That's the one with Steve Van Zandt or whatever from The Sopranos and Bruce Springsteen fame?
I do not.
Okay. So that was I remember that being a big deal. That was one of the first series, Lilyhammer. I don't know if it's good, but all I do know is it has Steve Van Zandt of The Sopranos, which is a show I adore. I love The Sopranos very, very much. So anyway,
we never watched it yet.
Sopranos is great. A lot of it is a little hard to watch, because it's not very kind to different races and sexualities. It's very of its time in the way it treats some of the different more sensitive subjects that really they couldn't do that stuff now. I will say The Sopranos, when I grew up in the neighborhood of The Sopranos, like in northern New Jersey, they shot a lot of it in my old neighborhood.
Okay.
Like, so, and The Sopranos is very accurate to northern New Jersey. Like, they use all the locations are real locations. They're all the references they make, like when Uncle Paulie is like, "Hey, I went to Carteret School off of Vampire Parkway." I'm like, "Yeah, I went to Carteret School off of Vampire Parkway. That's where I went to grade school. I went in Bloomfield, yeah, right, North Newark." So it's very accurate as far as that goes, and it's really accurate to how they depict an Italian American family in that area. But I did not know any mobsters. But when that show was being filmed, everybody was saying how they had this guy in the mob or this uncle or this aunt. Everybody was in school.
Not
was like, "Oh yeah, I'm juiced in." I don't know anybody who's juiced in, but as far as like the dynamics of an Italian American family, it's a lot of accuracy in there. So anyway, I love The Sopranos very much. It's very nostalgic for me. Reminds me of the old neighborhood.
That's cool though. I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, especially if you grow up in an area. I don't know. I just keep watching this thing of Dick Tracy, and it just makes me think about like that style of game. How we don't get licensed. I miss the fact that we don't get licensed games anymore. Really.
Well, we kind of do, but they're generally pretty good. Like, we don't get inventive
licensed games. I miss the bad licensed games.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like, you're Back to the Futures, and there's something charming about I guess what it is, you know what it is? Is that we're not spending $60 on them. It's extremely charming. Of course. If you emulate Back to the Future, you have some laughs, you play for an hour, and you know, like, and call it a day. If you pay $60 for Back to the Future LGN on the NES, that's a totally different scenario.
I get that completely, where it's all depending on, like, but I mean, just in general, like, some of my favorite, some of the 360 games I really liked were licensed titles. Bourne Conspiracy, a game that you're not going to hear anyone talk about. It's a game that I picked up randomly that I probably should have said with this. But it was a licensed game, and I really enjoyed it. It's not a good game, but I really, really liked it.
I did not know that was a game. There are some fun ones in that era, I suppose, the Xbox era. There were some pretty decent ones. But nowadays, if it's a Marvel game, we know now there's a level of quality involved. You know, your Spider-Mans and things of that nature. Your Guardians of the Galaxy is well-received. Yeah, I guess so. I guess there's really no room in the world for quirky, weird, you know, risk-taking mobile, games. Except mobile, but like spin-off games. It's interesting.
So, like, one thing that I was, not to go along with Dick Tracy, like with this game they mentioned, is that it's in a grid map, so even if you didn't really know what you were doing, you could figure it out just by following the grid. Like, even a kid would figure it out eventually because they just drive the grid.
Correct. And what
that's cool to me.
It's neat, and there's a few little twists and turns. There are some dead ends that you have to go, but you basically are correct, because the villain will say, "Oh, I picked up the money at 9th and G," and you can go to 9th and G, and as you're driving along, you'll have a little icon that says 9th and G by the door you need to walk in. Pretty neat. It's pretty straightforward in that regard. Again, you're just kind of following breadcrumbs and finding the clues. And once you find all the clues, as long as your notebook is full of clues, you can just make the arrest. Like, you don't really have to go through everything. So if you know exactly where the clues are after the repetition of dying and dying and dying and starting over, you can pretty much blaze through it and make your way. But the game makes a crucial mistake of, man, don't do that.
Another thing that I also want to mention is that there are other Dick Tracy games for Genesis and Mega Drive.
Yes, I did
see
that.
And Game Boy.
Are they? I did not look at screenshots, though.
The Genesis game is a side-scroller game where enemies keep spawning in front of you and off and in the background, where you have to shoot in the background, take out the enemies in the background by pressing the C button, and then you shoot the guys that constantly are spawning on the sides of you, and it's just a run-and-gun type game.
Oh, interesting. So is it kind of like... Sunset Riders doesn't do
Punisher
that.
Punisher NES.
Okay, there you go, yeah.
That's more of a game on rails with... Maybe Sunset Riders is good. It's been a while since I played Sunset Riders. But
I remember that has that idea where you kind of shoot into the background. Like, you have enemies in the background that are going to shoot at you, and then you have the ones in front of you going left.
It's kind of like that, and it's just a game where you run through five different cases of going after the villains, and you just keep shooting people. But just in the back in the day, I just find it so cool how they did that, where they would, release a game for the multiple systems, and every game was different.
Oh, I love that. That's really cool too. I think I remember one of the first I think the first time I ever recorded with you was for Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And I like that game, actually. I think it's actually pretty decent. It's not wonderful. I know you hated it.
Random NES games sometimes now. Like, I don't like NES. Fun. I'm not a big fan of that system, but I'm starting to... No, I hate that game, by the way. But I'm starting to kind of enjoy some of these random games that exist.
Yeah, and again, I think it really, because it's just so accessible. Like, we just downloaded, Friday the 13th, but if I had paid, again, if that was my only game for the year, because my aunt heard me talk about Friday the 13th once, and like, ooh, Friday the 13th, Billy likes Friday the 13th. What? No, I'm like 10. I didn't see Friday the 13th, but boom, there it does show up. And if that was my only game, I'd probably hate it, but... Why not?
I did play it when I was a kid. Somebody else that I knew had it, and I played it, and I remember it being stupid.
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. I like Friday. I think it actually has a lot of good ideas. I don't think it's terrible, but this game is terrible. This is really just not fun, and there's better ways of spending time. I usually, for these episodes, spend at least a half an hour, and then last night I was like, nah, 15 minutes is done. I had Game Genie codes and everything. I'm like, nope.
Should have did it, but I just didn't.
I didn't have the time or the care. Unlike most of the world, I just discovered Vampire Survivors, and my God, that game is so good. Damn it. I have Final Fantasy to play. I have to play Final Fantasy games for this podcast series, and I am stuck in Vampire Survivors mowing down.
That's because you're still in the fun part of the game.
Oh, is it not? Does it get not fun?
It got not fun for me. Okay. Personally, but I think that was more of a me thing, where I wasn't getting the fix anymore. I wasn't unlocking anything really unless I could do stuff, and that's when it started turning me off.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you're nowhere near that, so you're still
baby, and I play it literally. I only have like 5 hours in it, and evidently I might have 300 by the time it's all said and done.
I have 40.
I know people have hundreds upon hundreds of hours in that. A much better game than this. Anything else you
want
to say?
Games on here, do you? The point of the show is to have bad games in the bargain bin.
Not necessarily. Sometimes they're good. Like, one of them was in Journey to Silius. It's not a bad game. I like Journey to Silius just fine. Marvel Madness was on this series.
First episode, right?
No, Marvel Madness, I think, was like, I forget what the first episode was, but
okay.
Marvel Madness is a great game. I adore Marvel Madness.
Oh, last note that I want to go on, speaking of weird NES games that are based on licensed properties. There is a... God, is it also... Is it Lone Star? No, what the hell? Lone Ranger. There's a Lone Ranger NES game.
Okay.
That also came out around this time that does kind of the same thing that Dick Tracy does, where it has different... It has isometric stuff. It has side-scrolling stuff. It does the different things. I didn't even know it existed until like 3 days ago when somebody mentioned it, and... It's another one of those weird licensed games that I recommend that I have to play now at some point, because I'm a sucker for games that change up the gameplay style in a game in this time.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think there is a pretty cool thing. And yeah, it looks like the first bargain bin was, I don't know why it's not there. Yeah, it was Marble. Yeah, Marble Madness was like the first one, but it's also number two. Oh, I think I might have done the first one as a Patreon only thing. I don't know. Whatever. It's a lot of odd history with this show. But yeah, Marble Madness is the first one that's on the public feed. So yeah, I love Marble. I got to play the new Marble Madness game for Switch. They made a new one. I forget what it's called, but it's like a Marble Madness. Like, I'm dying to play it. Cool, man. We made our 30 minutes. Boom.
Okay, I don't think I have anything else to say about Dick Tracy.
I got nothing else about Dick Tracy. So here's the final question then. Even though you have not played it and you just watched somebody else play it, based on your limited experience with Dick Tracy, are you bringing it back to the store? Are you putting it back in the bin or are you taking it home?
I want to play it.
Yeah.
I honestly want to play it for my podcast.
Okay.
No question. So I'm bringing it home because I want
bringing it home.
It looks cool. I mean, if I would have been a kid that understood, or if I would have actually just looked up a guide and tried to play the game at some point, which I'm going to probably do, again, the fact that I've thought about the game for over 25, 30 years means I have to one day play it and beat it.
See, but that's
the thing. Enjoy it.
As a kid, there was no such thing as looking up. So you just,
no.
But honestly, in this game, you can figure it out. Like, it's not super obtuse. It's just a royal pain in the gameplay.
Yeah, but I didn't own it. I also didn't have an NES because my dad thought NES was stupid, and I had a Super Nintendo, so he wouldn't get me an NES.
Fair, actually. It's kind of fair.
I never had an NES.
I agree with you. The NES, I think video games, not in peak, but the SNES is a marked improvement over most things on the NES.
Oh, yeah, and I had a Super Nintendo, and he's like, yeah. Why do you want an NES? I'm like, well, Mega Man 2.
Yeah, right. That's really, yeah. Mega Man 2, DuckTales.
You got Mega Man at home. You got Mega Man X at home. You don't need Mega Man 2.
Nice. And for me, you can have my copy because I would put this right back in the bin where I found it. And this is just not a fun game for me. I can see. Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting. But as far as a fun game that I want to play, even with cheat codes, infinite energy, infinite everything, I was better things it's to do just, with my time.
There's something for me with that strange game where I just have that need to play it. Beat it, and then I can move on and never touch it again. And it's this weird thing with me in my brain where if the game had somehow been in my life, I want to finish it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, well, yeah, I'm still bizarre by this game, and I want to watch a Dick Tracy movie one day too for some unknown reason. So, yeah, there's that too.
If you have the hunger for a Dick Tracy movie, The Rocketeer has a very similar steez to it, just in like that. Which I love
that's
Rocketeer,
a future actually. Bargain bin because I actually had that game of Super Nintendo, so we can talk about that a different time.
I've never played The Rocketeer. I like that movie though quite a bit. So if you like The Rocketeer, Dick Tracy is a similar kind of vibe and feel. Even cinematography has a very soft feel to it. I think it's worth checking it out. Dick Tracy, okay. Why not? Al Pacino's in there, just gobbling scenery, hamming it up, having a blast. As whatever the character's name is.
The fact that you tell me he's in it got my interest.
Yeah. And I have to watch Warren Beatty cosplaying as Dick Tracy every
If you Google years. Dick Tracy, let's see. It's on. I'm going on I'll YouTube, Dick Tracy AMC special. Let's see. And it is there.
Oh, so good. All right.
There's two of them. I found. Okay, it's called Dick Tracy Special. Tracy Zooms In. It came out in 2023.
2023.
It came out in February 10th. It was dropped randomly where you have two people, whoever the idiots are at AMC, interviewing Warren Beatty dressed up as Dick Tracy, who is Dick Tracy.
This sounds wonderful.
And
All
it's
right.
a Zoom call. And oh then, my. Top it off, you have Warren Beatty as Warren Beatty interviewing Dick Tracy as Warren Beatty dressed up in the Zoom call, too.
This is the stuff psychotic people do when they. This is some legitimate like king of comedy from
This is what
De Niro.
You do when you don't want to lose your rights.
Guess that's what it is. Ma, please. Have you ever seen King of Comedy?
No,
that's wonderful. You have to see it right now. Tomorrow, just watch that movie. Anyway,
so, yes, there's a dick. So that's your random knowledge that you didn't know existed, and now you do, unfortunately.
And all thanks to this side episode of A Gamer Looks at 40, Tales from the Bargain Bin. This is why you listen to this series, not for any hard-hitting analysis of the game itself. Again, it's Dick Tracy. It's 5 minutes of conversation, but to hear my thoughts on The Sopranos and learn that Warren Beatty literally talks to himself in two different characters. This is wonderful, and I'm very glad this exists. And I will try to cut some audio up and throw it, pepper it throughout this episode just to make it that much more sweet. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tales from the Bargain Bin, and thank you for supporting the show during the lean months of August and September. There is some meaty stuff a-coming, though, if you enjoy this series. There is going to be a month of Earthbound. If you don't like Earthbound, listen to Mike Albertan's show. He's at like 300-something episodes of a variety of topics and games. If you don't like Earthbound and you don't want to hear people talking about it, my show is not for you for the month of probably September. And then in October, we're going to hopefully start the Final Fantasy series. I'm currently playing Final Fantasy V. I went through 1, 2, 3, and 4 in pretty short order. And there's a lot of cool stuff there. I have some pretty cool ideas for it as well, as far as guests and different segments. If you listen to the Zelda episodes, then you kind of know what to expect. A pretty varied assortment of fun things to listen to in your everyday while you're doing the lawn or driving or whatever it is you do, and listen to the podcast while doing it. Mike, thank you so much again for jumping on last minute. I really appreciate it. And again, if you haven't done so already, Games My Mom Found, available on every pod player on the face of the planet. I do recommend doing it from Podbean, though, because he has so many episodes, they're starting to recycle out of the standard pod players. So go to Podbean and just search Games My Mom Found. And I think I'm on like one of the first episodes. I'm like episode 17, I want to say, Friday the 13th. You can hear.
It's not that early. I think it's 30.
I want to say 30. I want to say 30. Old Bill, he didn't have a show. He had nothing. He wasn't podcasting again. Just hanging out with Mr.
And I made you watch MCU movies, and that's what did it.
That was it. Once I started doing the MCU movies, I'm like, oh, man, I got to do this again. This is so fun.
It was episode 38.
38. Very good. And then Fear Effect, which was not too far after that. So.
No, and this was September 30th, 2019, was the first time I played this game. My mom found.
The innocence of the 2019 pre-COVID.
Before we knew what was coming.
Before we knew what was coming. Thanks again for checking out the show. Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, is where I mainly hang my hat. And all the social media things, I'm all there in some aspect or way. Mike, thanks again. And until next time, just, watch Dick Tracy. What else have you got to do with your time this week? Thanks a lot, y'all.